Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Edition of Sports Time Radio, and I want to start off by telling you that I've already been warned by Blog Talk Radio that they're having issues with their site, so God only knows what this is going to be. Anyways, I think I said Thursday. It's actually the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the blog went up this morning, so I hope you had a chance to stop by there and read it. If not, hey, swing over there right now and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan, the Man with 3 E's.
Oh, so Dan, we had a little bit of NFL news that was non-Super Bowl related, which is quite an interesting tidbit at this time of year, because, you know, normally the NFL reins everybody in, and all you talk about is the two teams in the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl itself. But we had a trade that is not officially a trade and cannot officially become a trade until 6 weeks because of NFL rules. But after that six-week time period, we will see Alex Smith depart the Kansas City Chiefs after the best season of his career. And you say, well, Dan says, where's he going? Well, Dan, he will now go to the Washington football team that you and I like to call the Redskins, because we're not as goofy as some of the other media. In return, the Chiefs will receive cornerback Kendall Fuller and a third-round draft pick in the upcoming draft. So, I don't know, Dan, what do you think of this? I mean, everybody I've heard so far has said the Chiefs won the deal. I'm not sure if I'm buying it, but what do you think?
I think it's unfortunate Alex Smith had to leave, but, you know, as long as nothing changes, good for him getting a 4-year deal with the Redskins. Oh, extension.
So yeah, and on the plus side,
he continues to play the way he has. You know, it's just going to work out really well for the Redskins.
Yeah, the plus side, you know, Smith goes to Washington and he gets a 4-year extension. Worth a total of $94 million with $71 million being guaranteed. So, yeah, that not a bad deal if you can get it.
Yeah, if the Chiefs won the deal, wouldn't you say Alex Smith won either way?
Yeah, in reality, yeah, I think Alex Smith wins this deal, because I'd love to be cashing those checks. It all is going to depend, and we're not going to know until next year, until we see Patrick Mahomes as the starter. You know, I mean, he's had one game of NFL experience, but, you know, the Chiefs liked him enough to trade up last year to get him. You know, they moved up to the 10th pick in the draft to grab him. So, you know, it was kind of the plan all along that they were going to be turning this over to him. So, you know, not surprised. I mean, there was even some talk while they were on their losing streak. You know, the Chiefs started out, I think they were 5-0 or 6-0, and then turned around and proceeded to lose like 5 straight games, that they needed to go to Patrick Mahomes. And then with the playoff upset, you know, they got upset by Tennessee. It's no surprise that they made this move. You know, the other fun thing now is obviously Kirk Cousins has to find a new home. You know, he was franchised the last 2 years by the Redskins. There was no way they were going to do it again and pay him over $30 million. I don't know, Dan. There's a ton of landing spots for Cousins. Do you got anything up front and center? You want to see him be a Cleveland Brown, or you got a better spot you would like to see him go?
From what I saw, some people are leaning towards the Bills or the Jets. There was another team in there. I can't remember who it was, though.
Yeah, I think the one guy I heard this morning was really high on Arizona getting him, because they think if Cousins goes to Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald won't retire. Interestingly, one of the things I heard this afternoon, though, pointed out is a possible landing in Minnesota. You know, oddly, all three of those quarterbacks there, being Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, and Teddy Bridgewater, are all free agents. I thought Bridgewater was going to have another year, and I know there is that injury technicality that they haven't ruled on. But as of right now, they're all free agents. That could be a real interesting deal there if you were to plug Sam Bradford into that team that's already that – Sam Bradford, Kirk Cousins, into that team that's already that good. You know, hey, who knows what's going to happen there, right? It could be fun to see.
Well, if you went to Minnesota, I think it would almost guarantee that they re-sign Teddy Bridgewater and kind of let him develop under Cousins.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
seem to be, I know Mr. Fantasy and I had this conversation. I believe I'm the only guy who was backing Teddy to come back as the Minnesota starter. Mr. Fantasy was convinced they'd be bringing Case Keenum back, but with Pat Shurmur gone, that's not happening. You know, there's no way he ends up in Minnesota. I would be shocked. So, you know, we'll have to see. But there, you know, now, you know, it would be, if Cousins did go to Minnesota, it would really create some dominoes, because then obviously Bradford and Keenum would need new spots. You know, and it may also mean, you know, Bridgewater could go someplace else if a team offered him to be, you know, their starter. So, you know, that would be quite an interesting move. But, you know, we got some time to shake that one out. You know, then the other big NFL news that comes out, Dan, Thursday Night Football will be moving to a new network. I don't know if you saw this one, but Fox paid a reported $660 million. Yes, you heard that correctly. For a 5-year deal with the NFL to televise 11 Thursday night games a season starting next year. Wow. I don't know what else to say.
I guess my only question is, does that mean Joe Buck has another job?
Oh, don't do that to me. Jeez. So why would you do that to me? I don't want to listen to Buck and Aikman on Thursday nights. So, God, I hope the games are still freaking simulcast on NFL Network. Of course, with my luck, they'll be on there, too. Jeez. That's just ridiculous. So, if they don't do every Thursday night game, they'll probably do every Cowboy, you know, every Dallas Cowboy Thursday night game, so Aikman can talk about them over and over. I mean, he works them into the damn broadcast even when they're not playing.
Well, I would think they were slated for opening day next year.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, you know, if they can work it out, it's going to be Dallas against whoever, you know, maybe it'd be Dallas against Washington. So, you know, I was just like, great. I never even thought of that until you just mentioned it. So thanks for killing me. Interestingly, you know, $660 million is quite a bit of cashola for a league that supposedly is floundering with his ratings going down, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of money, but you're still a kid.
Yeah, well, you know, I still find it humorous because, you know, you and I think you and I are the only two who have ever pointed this out, that there are just so many other ways now to watch these games or get your information on these games that can't be tracked by ratings, that all we know for sure is that television ratings are down. We don't know if actual viewership is down because there's just no way to find this out. So it's kind of like, okay, great. Well, okay, the normal natural TV ratings are down, but I believe that's true for everything with, you know, streaming and, you know, God only knows any other possible bazillion ways to watch something now. You know, so it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, let's just kill the NFL when, you know, even I know I saw a report that the number one comedy has always been The Big Bang Theory. I saw an article the other day where their ratings are down and everybody's concerned. And it's just like, okay, well, I just believe television ratings are down across the board because, you know, I mean, people a lot younger than me are finding different ways to watch their product. And, you know, even this morning, you know, like I was telling you off the air, I had the, you know, the Roku TV on watching ESPN, and they can't track that rating. So, you know, how do you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you used that.
Yeah. So pretty much, you know, pretty much every morning, you know, I come in and turn it on and, you know, I get my fill of, you know, Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman as I'm getting, you know, getting all set. So, you know, I haven't turned the PlayStation on in a while, but, you know, the TV gets used. So,
yeah, not to draw you too far off topic, but when my family was over for some holiday, they wanted to play a CD of pictures, you know, like my mother-in-law put together. And they asked me if I had a DVD player, and I said, no, we don't. Well, we have one, but it doesn't work, so we don't have it hooked up or even in the, I think it's in the basement somewhere. He goes, well, what about your Xbox? I'm like, oh, that's just there. There's no wires. It's not plugged in. It's not connected to the TV. It's just there because I had nowhere else to put it.
It's just for show. That's about all mine is now. You know, I just don't.
Pretty much.
You know, so I just don't have the interest. I would rather play the Civilization game on the computer than there on the PlayStation and try to do that. But, you know, I guess I'm just not one of those guys. You know, I mean, I still have friends who, you know, sit in front of it and play it for hours. And, you know, I never got into the shooting games. So, but while we're wandering through some NFL topics, you know, interesting article I ran across on Victor Cruz. Mentioned he was actually surprised that he didn't hear from the Giants last year after they got all their injuries. I was a little surprised myself, you know, because they lost Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham for the season, and then a couple other receivers for multiple games. And I don't know why they didn't bring Cruz back in. He knew the system and everything. You know, he was cut by the Bears, which obviously he would have been the best receiver on the Bears had they have kept him. I'm guessing they just wanted to save as little money as they can. You know, he said, you know, like the article says, he's not retired just yet. Do you see him hooking on somewhere as a veteran wide receiver? You know, I mean, you got to figure he could be a good teacher for some of the young guys.
Well, do you think another team will do what the Bears did and just kind of use him for preseason and then dump him?
You know, that's always a possibility, you know, kind of how the NFL works. And I mean, honestly, I would love to know the Bears' reason for, you know, deciding to keep the guys they did and not him, you know, because humorously they had to go out and trade for a veteran wide receiver during the season. You know, they had to give up a draft pick to San Diego to bring Dontrell Inman in because their receivers were just so pathetically horrible you know, that they needed a veteran guy, where Victor Cruz could have been that guy all along had you just not had your head up your rear end. But, you know, that's what this Bears team is, and I think we're quite used to it by now. So we won't be surprised when they do it again next season. But, yeah, it's definitely a possibility. But, you know, there are a lot of teams who need some wide receiver help. You know, we'll have to see how that works out for us. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Well, what do you think? You think he's in the league next year?
No.
No?
I don't know why.
I did hear him on the NFL Network, and he's actually not too bad on commentary. So if they want to, if they want to continue to, use him in that capacity, it looks like he might have a future there. So, I'm panicking here because I had a FanDuel lineup set for basketball, and it just came out that the Bulls are going to sit Nikola Mirotic until they trade him. And I had him in my lineup tonight, so I had to run really fast. Had to run really fast and get him out of my lineup and get a new guy in there. So that was my, my stalling technique there, was to get you to talk about Victor Cruz, and you didn't talk enough. So
are they really going that route? It seems kind of.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the word is.
Let me double back, and I will get the here you go. Bulls trade rumors: Nikola Mirotic won't play as Chicago seeks deal. So there you go.
I mean, that really doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me.
No. Well, you know, I mean, obviously the only thing they could be thinking of is there is a chance that he could be injured. But, you know, again, with these guys nowadays, you know, they could get injured walking to the locker room. So I don't know, you know, what they're really protecting or up to or what they're trying to do. But, you know, it's another, I mean, we add it to another poor Chicago sports decision. And, you know, you got to start to wonder if maybe Chicago is the stupidest sports town in America when it comes to the way the teams are run. And, you know, Cleveland would be right up there, but, you know, at least the Indians, well, of course, the Chicago does have the Cubs, so they would be pretty even. You know, the Cavaliers obviously look like a dumpster fire right now, and the Browns are a joke, but, you know, Chicago isn't much better. You know, the Bulls are clueless, the Bears are clueless. You know, the NHL is caught up to the Blackhawks, and the White Sox are in, you know, still in repair, so... You know, you bank on the Cubs. It's slim pickings until, you know, you get the, you know, until you get to baseball season here. So, but we, you know, speaking of Cleveland, while you brought that up, Dan, that was very nice of you. It looks like the Cavaliers are going to get their wish, and they're going to get to play without Kevin Love for about 6 to 8 weeks. As he broke his left hand last night. So how do you think this is going to work out, Dan, that they got their wish and they're going to be loveless?
Did he punch somebody?
No, it just happened during the, you know, natural recourse of a game.
I think it'll work out great for them, but I think really don't. Because then they're going to be dying for him to come back. Because remember before when he was gone, or when he was there, that was all the talk, but they weren't playing as well because of him. And then when he was gone, you know, all they could talk about was how he's really going to, you know, bolster that offense when they go to the World Series, the finals.
Well, now here's the interesting thing, Dan. If they don't play better while he's gone, who is it his fault for getting hurt?
Yep.
So is that how it works? You know, they're going to pin the blame on him. Now, for Cleveland is playing tonight. It's a back-to-back situation for them. And Isaiah Thomas is actually going to start for Cleveland tonight. It's the first time he's playing back-to-back since his return from injury. So we'll have to see how that goes or how it works out. You know, there was a little bit of uproar from Thomas, you know, the other night when he was held out the entire fourth quarter. The team was kind of rolling along, and they just never put him back in because the team was on a good roll. He's going to be a free agent in the off season, Dan, and you know, he's going to want a whole lot of money, and I'm just not sure, you know, if he's going to be worth what he's asking for. You know, he was great with the Celtics as, the main ball handler and kind of that guy. But, you know, this year with the Cavs, I don't know if maybe he's still working his way back from injury or what it is, but he hasn't looked all that great. I mean, if he's on the free agent market last year or next year, are you excited if, like, the Knicks go out and pay big money to bring him in?
Not really. I mean, is he another one of those guys with all the potential, but, you know, almost the same boat as Blake Griffin?
Boy, I don't even know if he has the Blake Griffin potential on him. You know, he was a struggling guard for quite some time in I want to say it was Phoenix, and then they finally hit on a idea of playing three guards at the same time. That's when Goran Dragic, another one of your guys there, actually took off and started putting up some numbers. But yeah, you know, last year was really his breakout year. I want to double check his stats here and make sure I'm not shortchanging him. Yeah, he spent, it looks like about three full seasons with Sacramento. He averaged 20 points his last season there. His 1 year in Phoenix, it was just 15 points a game. When he went to Boston, his numbers steadily improved to where he was averaging 28.9 points a game last year. But he was playing almost 34 minutes a game. So far with the Cavs, he's at 15.6, but he's only playing 26.3 minutes a game. As a point guard, though, he's not a huge assist guy. He averages 5.1 a game for his career, and the highest he's ever had was back in 2013-14, where he averaged 6.3 for a season, and he's also a huge defensive liability. He's always ranked as one of the worst defensive players in the NBA. So, and not that I care about some of these goofy stats, but he actually has a negative career win share, which is a little difficult to do for a player. But he's gonna be floating around on the free agent market there, and we'll have to see if somebody willingly steps up and gives him that kind of money. But him or advocating paying him that kind of cash?
No, I'm not. I wouldn't.
he'll be one of the fun, because there was talk that if LeBron was to leave, the Cavaliers would consider giving him a max deal. So, I don't know about that one. You know, I'm not sure if he's the guy who replaces LeBron James. So,
I mean, on paper, you know, as far as the position goes, yeah. But and all other factors, no.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things. You know, you look at certain guys, and I guess kind of the way I look at it is like I don't see him being a leader of a team that wins a championship. You know, and again, maybe that's just me, but I don't think of him as that guy.
Well, I mean, the biggest rally he had going behind him last year in the playoffs was that, you know, he came into a series after, I believe it was his sister passed away, and, you know, that's what really got everyone rooting for him.
That helped quite a bit, so.
But, you know, it didn't continue to progress, though. It just kind of, you know, everyone was kind of emotionally involved with him for that period, but, you know, it didn't really take off. The Celtics didn't make it to the next level, so to speak.
Yeah, well, you know, they were close, but that was about it. So, but yeah, I did want to get your opinion on this one, and I don't think I actually buy the setup here, but I'm willing to listen to you. You know, I mentioned to you yesterday that they actually asked LeBron James about the Blake Griffin trade. And he used the word unfortunate when talking about it because, you know, Griffin had signed a multi-year deal to stay with the Clippers. And then LeBron said it's a double standard and went on to describe that when a player gets traded, it's that they're doing what's best for the franchise. But when a player decides to leave, he's not loyal, he's a snake, he's not committed. Basically, this is just another way of him setting up his exit from Cleveland. But do you – I don't buy this as a double standard, Dan, because I think they're two completely different things. But I would love to know where you stand. Are you got some backing for LeBron here? Because I really think it's a load of crap, and he's just, you know, CYA in here.
Well, I mean, I think there's a huge double standard because it's the truth. But, you know, he can come out and say that, but really what it comes down to is how the media portrays it. It's not so much, you know, it's not, I guess it's, basically what it comes down to is it's the way the media portrays it. I mean, yeah, Blake Griffin signed the big deal, and was it loyalty or for the money? We'll never know. But I think you're right in the sense, though, that he's covering his butt for, you know, next season when he leaves. But then again, you know, he's been the victim of it. Leaving Cleveland, and I don't know if it was as bad when he left Miami, but I think it was still a you know, I don't think the double standard applied there because the loyalty was there. You know, Pat Riley was answering all his wishes, you know, picking the draft pick that, you know, LeBron said to pick and trying to do the things that LeBron wanted to do. And then last minute, the snake comment comes out because he snaked out. I mean, that's the truth. And, you know, I can kind of see where the double standard applies to even a guy like Kevin Durant. You know, where is the loyalty? But two or three years prior to that, you know, James Harden left. So, you know, it's all around. It's a business. But in the end, it's definitely how the media portrays it that sets these guys up. You know, I mean, if he was trying to show his loyalty now, why did he leave in the first place?
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think he looked like a bigger D-bag leaving Miami than he did leaving Cleveland the first time. You know, Cleveland didn't do anything to, you know, get him to stay. They just kind of assumed, you know, he would take the max deal and they would kind of run with that. But, you know, like you mentioned, Miami drafted the guy LeBron James suggested in the first round. You know, they made other changes to their roster that LeBron suggested, and he signed with Cleveland.
At the last minute. Well, maybe not the last minute.
Right. You know, so you kind of have to wonder there. I mean, you know, obviously the big difference is, to me, is if you're being traded by a team, they, you know, they don't want you. If you choose to leave a team that's offering you a contract to stick around, that's a little different. I mean, does a player want to be in a situation where he's not wanted or maybe not respected by a team? You know, I think you would rather take the trade, even if it means maybe you're going to a worse team. Maybe Starling Castro would say something different about that, but that's a different sport.
Yeah.
you know, you got to kind of wonder there how that works out, but it's interesting. But yeah, I literally just saw it as LeBron trying to, you know, cover his, you know what. So when he takes off this summer for Los Angeles or Houston or wherever he decides to go, you know, he can say, well, you know, it's a double standard. Look at the double standard here. So, you know, that'll be his big thing.
Well, like I said, to a point, I think it is, but again, it's a lot of it is the portrayal in the media.
Yeah.
You know, with KD in Oklahoma, you know, I'm sure the fans love him because the fans are always going to get behind their guys. You know, you can't take that away. They're always going to get behind their guy, even if they don't like him. We talk bad about him, they're going to get behind their guy. But, you know, for the love of me, I can't remember the guy who covers the team in Oklahoma. But he was the first one, anytime KD had a bad day or whatever, would just completely rip him. So, you know, KD and NBA players, you know, players as a bunch, they don't deal with the fans as much as they deal with the media. And when you kind of continuously get that from the media, I think that's when you're kind of feeling the jabs in the gut or the slaps in the face, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you know, if there's a double standard on anything, it's the media. You know, because they kill a guy when he's bad. If he's good, then he's the greatest player in the world. So, you know, that may be the
that's like right now with the Cavaliers. I mean, you and I may not be the biggest fans of them, but neither one of us are going to question why they aren't playing, you know, Golden State's level of, you know, 2 years ago, breaking a record, only losing, you know, a handful of games. Well, I'm not going to question it because I know once the playoffs come around, they're going to have their crap all together and they're just going to dominate. And I really don't see any team really, you know, pushing through to them. Unless the Celtics make a big move or, the other team, the Raptors, but the Raptors always seem to be in it until the playoffs.
Yeah. The Raptors are a very good regular season team, you know, and they may win a playoff series, but yeah, don't expect, don't expect them to be representing the Eastern Conference anytime soon in the finals. It's just not what they do. So, you know. But, you know, I know, Dan, we discussed Jabari Parker a little bit yesterday, and I did see a report today that the plan right now is to play him 15 minutes a game to start. Now, they don't say how long that'll last, so it may be, you know, only 15 minutes for a couple games or, you know, maybe 10 or 15. But right now, starting with Friday when he returns against your New York Knicks, he's scheduled to play 15 minutes. So if you're if you're holding him on your bench or something, you may want to wait and see if he's giving you a few more minutes before you jump on pumping him in your lineup, unless of course you have the guys that you have the big room there. So
Yeah, well, the rookie coach left our league, so I'm sure someone has Jabari out there somewhere. But at the moment, I don't think it's worth the pick with the
So,
limited spots.
Dan, we did have a baseball signing again, not a big time major baseball signing, but I guess we can say former Cub Alex, how are we pronouncing it this year? We're gonna call it Avila or Avila, or what are we going with for his name?
Well, in Spanish, it's Avila. You should know that after all
Okay,
your
let's go.
time with ESPN Deportes.
Yeah, you would think I would know that by now, except that it was mostly soccer on the front page. He got a 2-year deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks for $8.25 million. He has another possibility to earn $250,000 in incentives as well. So, Mr. Avila has a new home.
That's
I don't know
pretty
if you.
interesting. I guess that's the going rate for a backup catcher. But I can't pull it up in front of me right now. Wasn't there like two or three catchers in that on that team last year? I know I had one or two of them.
Yeah, well, they still have Jeff Mathis. He was the guy they brought in, even though he was an under 200 career hitter because he was a pitch framer. So they brought him in, and oddly, he hit much better than what a lot of people thought he did was going to last year. And then I think they have, let me double check. Yeah, they still have Chris Herman on their roster as well. So they did add an Avila to the 40-man roster, so they'll have to make a corresponding move. Maybe one of those guys gets designated or something. We'll have to see. We'll have to check tomorrow to see what kind of what kind of possible move they made. And no, actually, looks like I just found it. They already made it. They decided to designate outfielder Ray Fuentes for assignment. So it looks like he's the guy who's going to lose his
Wow.
roster spot for Avila.
Poor Ray.
So, yes, Ray is out of a job. And
Sure
locally
enough.
here, the White Sox made a signing. They're bringing in Genmar Gomez, who 2 years ago had 37 saves for the Phillies. But he was one of those, what's the best way to call him? Not so solid closers, as he had 37 saves with a 4.85 ERA. Last year for Philadelphia, he was 3-2, but his ERA was 7.25. And he only appeared in 18 games before I believe they allowed him to leave. So yeah, he was actually released. The Brewers gave him a look and the Miners weren't interested. The Mariners gave him a look, weren't interested. But now the White Sox are bringing him in on a minor league deal with the invite to spring training. So I don't know if maybe they're looking to see if he can get a little some of that 37 save magic back or not, but again, there's not a ton going on in baseball, so these are the kind of signings Dan and I have to talk about. So,
I mean, it doesn't hurt to take a look. They have
yeah.
Joaquin Benoit fly as their closer, I believe, for this upcoming season. So, it's always good to have another guy kind of in the pen ready to go for when Benoit gets
Yeah, you know
hurt.
what I mean? You never know. I mean, if he finds it, and I mean, he can get out. He could be a valuable setup guy. And again, a guy who, could be trade bait come the right time if he's rolling. There's always, interest in those kind of setup closer guys. I mean, Anthony Swarzak last year had a career year with them, and they were able to ship him off to the Brewers for some prospect help. you know, again, we never know how it actually will turn out until we see the guys, but, you know, it's still, you know, still some, you know, some better than nothing, right?
So, I don't know. At the end of the day, I still think the White Sox will be interesting and a little fun to watch next year.
Yeah, I did see also that Mookie Betts, I believe, won his arbitration case. And, you know, it was kind of interesting. Yeah, they were talking about he got a big raise to $10.5 million. And it's so weird that seems like a fantastic deal for a player like Mookie Betts with what guys are making nowadays.
Well, I mean, let's not forget Chris Bryant only, I think, I don't know if he got that or was it $14 million. So it's kind of right in line with everybody. It's not until you're out of arbitration that you can, you know, possibly like a deal.
So yeah, that's, you know, one of the fun, you know, fun things baseball players deal with. But yeah, you know, I mean, not that $10.5 million is anything to sneeze at, but you know, I mean, it's just when you think of Mookie Betts, you know, I just seem to think he you know, he's one of the top players in the game, and you know, you would think he would get more than that, or they would try to work something out. But you know, we'll have, you know, who knows? Maybe they still will. So,
well, you know, that's the advantage of the system that's set up and having the arbitration years for the team, at least.
So, but here you go, Dan. Here's one of those things where you think you're doing the right thing, and it probably blew up in your face. You know, we talked earlier in the week that the Indians are going to phase out their logo, Chief Wahoo, after 2019. They're going to get rid of them. Now, Dan, the issue is that people believe the Indians should change their name. So sometimes, Dan, you can't win for losing, can you?
No. Change it to the Cavaliers?
Yeah, they, you know, nobody knows the what, but that's the thing now is, you know, they're the new team. I mean, I guess they thought they were doing the right thing, or at least trying to be politically correct, and basically got it stuffed in their face because now they want, you know, now they want more. So.
Well, to further that a little bit, I only looked at one website this morning. I didn't take a look at a bunch. In my size, I could not find a Chief Wahoo hat, sadly, so I didn't get it off the Fanatic. I've yet to check, Lids or New Era. But, yeah, the Chief Wahoo hat was gone from that site. And then do you think that attacking them for the Indian name comes out after the fact that Roger Goodell flat out said, I do not see the Redskins changing their name anytime soon?
Yeah, well, you wonder if maybe they thought while the Indians were, you know, they were willing to make this change, they would just keep going and go one step farther. So.
And then it's on to the Braves, right? Or is that politically okay?
Well, you know, yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, the Braves have kind of flown under the radar here with, you know, how that kind of worked out. So.
Well, they don't use the Indian head logo anymore. So.
No,
I don't know if that was dropped in Milwaukee or Boston.
Their fans do the tomahawk chop.
Yeah. So do the Chiefs fans and the Seminoles.
You know, so that could be, one of those, you know, one of those things. So, but while we were talking about politically correct stuff, Dan, I don't know if you managed to see this or how you feel about this, but this is a sport I don't even know if you and I have ever ever talked about Formula One here, Dan, but I'm going to bring it up to you now because they made some interesting changes for the upcoming season. They will no longer feature grid girls, all right, the promotional models that they use, and they will also no longer have the women in pit lane, you know, in victory lane. Do you see NASCAR possibly following up with this, or do you think it's just going to be a Formula One thing? Because Dan, I got to tell you, I really liked the Monster Energy girls last year in NASCAR.
I really don't know much about Formula One, and what the grid girls did. But I don't see NASCAR doing away with it, because it's, you know, maybe they'll revamp it a little bit. I don't know, but you know, part of the thing, well, you know, when it was the Sprint Cup series, part of it was that was your, almost your, I don't want to say host, but you know, the after win race interviews were all done by her, or you know, whoever was the kind of the spokesmodel, so to speak. So
yeah,
I really don't see them moving away from it. You know, maybe they'll
Grid girls up apparently,
a little bit more,
apparently what a grid girl does here, Dan, just to answer your question, is they are banner bearers for the drivers, more or less.
What does that even mean?
You know, because the start of the race is considered a grid. So the women hold the banners before the cars take the track, so you know who's starting where.
Oh. So. Well, doing away with that is, in essence, telling us that we're going to eventually do away with modeling, right?
Well, you know, they just put how many women out of jobs now. You know, they had an opportunity there. Now women just lost jobs. So, you know, we're racking up unemployment. I guess my thing is, Dan, is I don't understand what did it hurt?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard any allegations coming out of that, you know, the F1 series.
So, yeah, I'm not quite, you know, I mean, you know, I... You know, like they suggested replacing them with children as the banner bearers, and then they could create, you know, lifelong fans because, you know, the kid would get to hold the banner. I don't know if that works for just one race, but, you know, however it would kind of go. But, you know, I guess it's just interesting. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, like I said, I don't really understand what it was hurting. So
yeah, well, if they're on the actual raceway, so to speak, I wouldn't think it's too wise to put children out there. Just throwing it out there.
Well, yeah, I.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not sure how that kind of works, but you know, yeah. So you know, we can say goodbye to the grid girls there and the girls in victory lane. You know, like I was saying, I just hope that NASCAR does not follow suit because I'm a big fan of the Monster Energy girls. I'm telling you, but Dan, I know you've got to cut out a little early for an appointment, but I got an email today from Yahoo saying that they are discontinuing the NASCAR Fantasy League. So
Wow. We
will not be able to partake in that. I know you forgot to register last year because it's not on the app, and that always screwed you up. Right. I think I did win it last year. So I will take the victory, but yeah, it is no more. So
I guess we'll have to do golf.
Now we'll just have to see if the baseball leagues ever open so we can sign up there.
Yeah. Until tomorrow, Big Jack.
Yes. All right. We will We will let Dan run here as he is off to his appointment. And while we are on NASCAR, just, you know, some stuff with the Daytona 500 not too far around the corner. It's being reported that Jeffrey Earnhardt did find a ride for the Daytona 500. So there will be an Earnhardt in the race. It won't be, obviously, Dale Jr. But, yeah, we will have an Earnhardt. You know, Jeffrey hasn't had much success at the top level, and, you know, not expecting him to go out and win the race or anything. But, hey, at least he is, you know, at least he's out there on the track. He's giving it a shot. So we shall, you know, we shall see how he does. But, it, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a little, you know, little disappointed that there won't be a Yahoo NASCAR league. I mean, I know we never got a ton of people to join it, but I always enjoyed playing in it and you know, stuff. So it's going to be sad. I do know, I believe FanDuel has picked it up. So maybe I'll have to look into that and see if, you know, see how that goes. And I don't know, you know, we'll have to check it out. But yeah, it was a little sad, but I will tell you, you know, I don't know if I mentioned you or not, I've actually had some success in FanDuel basketball this year, surprisingly. So I'm giving it a go tonight. I decided to throw in a dollar entry. And, you know, I did get Nikola Mirotic out of my lineup. So here's what I went with tonight for my lineup. I paid $5,100 for Terry Rozier at point guard. My other point guard I spent $3,800 on. That's Isaiah Kanaan. For shooting guards, I paid $4,200 for Jeremy Lamb and $4,100 for Dwayne Wade. At small forward, I spent big on LeBron James, $11,900. And then I spent $5,700 on Jaylen Brown as my other small forward. Power forward, I ended up with 276ers. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but, you know, it was kind of a panic move to get Mirotic out of the lineup, and I hope it doesn't cost me. I spent $9,000 on Ben Simmons and then $7,000 on Dario Saric. And then my center, I spent $8,500 on Mark Gasol, who looks like he's already racked up 12.1 points for me, as that game has already started. So hopefully I'll cash in and get my money back. But yeah, just again, very, very humorously, I've been managing to win at basketball. And, you know, I went through all 18 weeks of the football season without getting my money back. I lost $18 during the football season. So yeah, it just kind of didn't go my way. And obviously, you know, I'm allegedly a football guy. You know, I like to think I know more about, well, I actually do know more about football than I do basketball. But for some reason, I seem to be winning at basketball. And you can't say it's beginner's luck because I've been playing for quite a few years now. And, just one of those things. I mean, I don't bet every week or every day or, you know, anything like that. Just, you know, every now and then I throw a dollar on a game like I did tonight. And, I've done okay. I'm actually ahead, in the game. So, we'll have to see how tonight goes. If I get my dollar back, or maybe the late change will hurt me. But yeah, just really strange that for some reason I have had good luck with basketball, and I got to question my football ability now as, you know, things move along. And I mean, I went through that streak where literally one guy I picked on my roster every week got hurt. And sometimes it was multiple guys. So, it was just one of those odd seasons, I guess. I mean, I would like to write it off to, one of those things, just call it bad luck and, hope that next year isn't like that. But man, it was just a ridiculously negative year for me. And I mean, I've never had a year like that in my life. So, we'll have to see if I bounce back next year, or hopefully basketball still become, will be good to me. And, baseball, I always do pretty solidly in. So I think I'm gonna be, I always do okay there. I managed to win. So we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. And I am looking on Yahoo now, and the baseball league still isn't open. It's gonna be February 1st, and you gotta think sooner or later they're gonna get this thing open so we can get signed up and get rolling and stuff. But after the NASCAR league cancellation, I'm starting to get a little concerned that maybe they're not gonna, they're gonna try to do all their full focus on their daily fantasy, and they're gonna stop doing, yearly fantasy, and we may have to scramble to find another site. I know the Mickey Mouse Network does fantasy sports, so I guess we could always slide over there and sign up. But we'll have to see how that goes for me here. I just I don't know what the deal would be, or whatever, everything would go on here. So we'll have to see how it works. But I am a little concerned with that as of right now. But so I had one of those pop-ups that, just didn't want to go away, and it drives me nuts when that happens. So on the plus side, we don't seem to have a terrible Blog Talk issue. I was a little worried when I had called in and they were kind of like, "Hey, we're having problems." Normally that's disastrous for Dan and I. It seemed to work out, and looks like we made it through pretty cleanly. So that's a nice little surprise there. But on the plus side, I know I normally don't pub everything right away, but let's get it out of the way now. I hope you get a chance to get to sportstimeradio.com and read the blogs. In case you don't know, I am the one who posts them on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It's really throw something up over there, and we haven't had anything from Schomburg Stew or Mr. Fantasy in a while. So get over there and check that out. As always, I'd like to thank you for hanging out and listening to the podcast live. It's super cool to do that. But if you still get the chance, tunein.com, you can go over there and find it whenever you want to listen to it. Don't forget, the Twitter feed is at Sportstime Radio. I am also out there at BerkTime if you'd like to reach out to me. Or, just go ahead and email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Maybe you have an interest in playing fantasy baseball with us. We always enjoy new people coming in. But yeah, again, thanks for listening, and Dan and I will be back at 5:30 tomorrow.